This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
That's Burkhardt on Fox. Kalia Davis, that was an amazing individual play.
It's pretty awesome,
the
yeah.
The bat and the pick.
Yep. It's like the forced fumble and the fumble recovery.
Yeah.
Although in this, there's not really a stat, I don't think, for passes defensed. He doesn't get a pass breakup because he wasn't at the point of reception, but...
There's got to be some sort of a... Well, as Greg Cosell would call them, fluky plays.
Right. Although, I would argue, and I'll say this for Wednesday with Greg Cosell, nothing fluky about what Kalia Davis did.
Nope.
That's just good, solid defense where you get your hand up and you bat it, and then you go ahead and catch that damn thing as well. And Brock again, couple of batted passes.
Yeah, well, one of them got batted by the back of Dominic Pooney's helmet.
That's true.
So, again, I do think this is fair, and maybe someday we'll have enough technology and the analytics for this. Not all interceptions are created the same.
Right. Patrick Mahomes' second one where Xavier Worthy just straight fell down.
He did, but he wasn't going to be open. Like, it wasn't a good...
No, but maybe he's able to play, like, offense turns to defense.
Totally.
The fact that he fell down made that an absolute gift for Lenore.
Of the five picks, Purdy's three were all worse than either of Patrick's. For sure. So I don't know if I'll call a batted ball totally fluky, but it's less the fault of the quarterback than if you just misread it or throw it into bad coverage or huck it 15 yards over somebody's head, all of those things. So Purdy's picks were worse than Patrick's picks. To me, there's no question about that. All right, back to the phones in a sec. But what about this? I thought the Steelers made a mistake by not acquiring Mike Williams last week. I was surprised that Mike Williams got in to the Jets game last night and even got a fourth down catch in conversion. But the Jets wide receiver room has been turned upside down because Garrett Wilson thought he was the one, and now I don't know if he's going to be the one anymore. And a presence like Davante Adams walks into the room. Alan Lazard, who has history with Aaron Rodgers and was the number two, moves to the number three. Mike Williams is coming off of injury, but he's achieved some things in this league. And he's a former top 10 pick in the draft. Maybe he hasn't quite lived up to that. This is a good player. This is a good player who can't stay there and can probably be had for a song. Now, the Steelers want him. They may end up with him. But the world changes in the NFL every week. And if I'm the 49ers, that's a call that I can make because it doesn't cost you much. And you can fit him right in, and they're going to need some reinforcements. This whole idea, Pearsall, he's played one game in his life. Like,
look pretty good, though.
Yeah, but, fine.
Yeah, you're right.
But, like, what? How much are we leaning on the back of this wide receiver room now knowing that Ayuk is unavailable? Debo is constantly hurt and not a traditional wide receiver anyway. Juwan Jennings has shown some things this year that's wonderful, but this is still a thin room. At a young room, I'm calling and I'm seeing if I can get Mike Williams from the Jets.
I'd have to look at Mike Williams as a blocker because if you want the rock, you've got to block
sure. In
this system. And, you know, I look at what they have right now and you invested first round draft capital in Ricky Pearsall and now he's healthy. And I thought he looked good enough to warrant a start if you don't have Brandon Ayuk and you won't because he's out with a torn ACL and a torn MCL. So does that mean Juwan and Debo start and then Pearsall now becomes wide receiver three? Or does Pearsall go right in there and take Ayuk's spot? We don't really know yet. And I guess we'll have to wait until
yeah. You
get into Dallas to find out. But yeah, I wonder about Mike Williams, a guy who definitely fell out of favor in his last spot, and now he has three catches in the last 3 weeks.
One-year deal, cheap as can be. Like, this costs you nothing. So all those, but what about, well, then it doesn't get in the way of anything. It's just insurance. It's a professional wide receiver who can run a route, has been a deep threat before. He's a big body who, and I like your point. I don't know the damn thing about Mike Williams blocking,
yep.
But I do know that he's been a good teammate. He's a professional wide receiver. He's coming back from injury, and I think he's got a lot left in there. He's only 30. He's only 30 years old.
Just turned.
And he's got to go. And we're talking about like a sixth-round pick swap or something like that. That's literally
nothing.
It would take.
Exactly.
This is going to take no money. This is going to take no capital. I'd do that deal if I'm the Niners.
Yeah, it's probably something you could do for insurance if you feel like you need insurance. But if you look at their room right now, they've got a full room. You've got Conley and Bell, who almost scored a touchdown. He scored, but then he was down at the one-yard line, and they correctly reversed it. But you've got Conley and Bell. You've got Juwan and Debo. You've got Cowing and Pearsall. Do you really need a wide receiver? I would argue that they probably think that they're good. A team that doesn't do four wide receivers ever, so you only really need three at a time, and you've got six.
But you're throwing two rookies in there. Ronnie Bell is
Ronnie's back now.
He should be out of favor if he's not.
Big catch on that last drive to get down to the one-yard line.
Sure. I mean, every now and again, right? Like squirrel finds a nut. Chris Conley's run the wrong way on routes yesterday. Like, I just think there's tons of room in there for him. They're like, I'm not relying on Pearsall and Cowing to be nails starting today with a collective like two games under their NFL belt.
I would look at other areas where they have a greater need personally. And among them
is, you can do that too.
Offensive line,
sure.
Defensive line, you need help at both of those spots.
888-957-9570. How about, let's go to Jonathan in the city. Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. And number one reason why they're being like this and, you know, they're not winning the games against good teams is, you know, the core that went all the way in the distance for a few years, they're old, worn out, and broken down now. Number two, they are so weak, W-E-A-K, at the point of attack, both offensively and defensively. The defensive tackle position is weak. The interior of the offensive line is weak. And the head scratcher for me yesterday, guys, is now I'm seeing them play dumb. And the best example of that is they should have Karlaftis blocked with two guys, number 83 and another dude. But you know what happened in the play? They ran into each other and canceled each other out. Karlaftis went untouched, unblocked on his way to Brock Purdy.
Yep.
And another head scratcher for me, guys, is the defense continues to tackle high. That's what happens when you try to go high on a quarterback, Fred. You know, he got stiff-armed. That's, man, shame on the people that's trying to put his name next to Patrick Willis. You know, for me, tank the season. They're not going to go anywhere. They're going to need a few bunch of people. Kyle needs a new boss. He needs a new GM that's going to, you know, hold them accountable. They definitely need a special teams coach. They need a new defensive line coach, and also a new offensive line coach. Let's go, Warriors.
Jonathan, Jonathan, before you leave, who's winning the NFC West?
Either Detroit or Minnesota.
No, NFC West.
The division.
NFC West?
Yeah.
I don't know. They're all weak, man.
Well,
it doesn't matter who wins.
It
doesn't matter who wins the division. It's going to be a one and out.
I mean, I'd bet against that. Jonathan, thank you. Whoever wins is going to host a playoff game. You got more than half the season left. I think you're a little early to Tankville. That's all. A little early to Tankville.
There is no Tankville for this team.
Yeah.
I don't. Even if you got, like, how deep would you have to get to? You're 3-4, and if you get into a spot where you're 5-9, is that Tankville? Well, 5-9, you still might be mathematically in it in the NFC West because this division is a hot mess. And, you know, you might be in a spot where 9-8 gets it done because of tiebreakers and all the rest of it. I don't think that anybody's running away with it. If the Niners aren't going to run away with it, no one's going to run away with it. Seattle's 4-3, and they're not great.
Arizona
Rams, I'm not buying it.
I don't see evidence of this 49er team ending up 8-9. Even 9-8. I don't see the evidence of it. I know today's a frustrating day.
Yeah.
but you've played seven football games, and I don't know many people who don't think that you were at minimum the better team five of the seven times.
Right, so but you're 3-4.
But you're 3-4. But again, if we're projecting, so like, are we predicting that you're going to have more collapses and where you lose by 1 point to bad teams? Could happen. Could happen. I bet against it, but it could happen.
You've got Dallas coming off a bye, which I know they're favored by six,
but
you could say that that's going to be a win, but I'm not giving the Niners any win in any game ever.
No, you got to go
when
get
you face
it,
but... Seattle again. Seattle will be coming off a bye, and yeah, you handled Seattle the first time, but coming off a bye is a big factor, and Kansas City had the rest advantage here, and I think part of that showed. And so what do we remember last year when the Niners went into a bye? You faced Cincinnati at home, and Cincinnati absolutely dominated you.
Yep.
So I see a team that right now is kind of on the ropes and is desperate to have their bye, and yet they have one more game. And yeah, it's a rivalry game.
Yeah, it's Sunday Night Football, and you would hope that that's enough to kind of get everybody going and have a better effort. Let's do Grandpa Daddy here in Hayward. What up, GPD?
Hello, gentlemen. Oh, I was at the game, sweat my butt off. But first, I want to just lighten it all up and just say congratulations, Mark and Christy. You two make a perfect couple. I love love. I'm a man of love. Congratulations to you two. I love that. You're married. You're a man. You're a good man, Charlie Brown. You're a good man, Charlie Brown. Get down on one knee, brother. I love that one, man.
I appreciate it, GPD, to let our listeners know. And I tried to warn people on Twitter, you're going to have a hard time getting me into a bad mood today, no matter what happened with the 49ers, because
Dodgers in the World Series.
Dodgers are in the World Series. What a perfect weekend to make the Niners and Dodgers drama go away by getting engaged to my lovely Christy. And I know she's probably listening right now, driving around. So I know she knows this. I've said it a billion times just over the weekend, but I love you very much. And GPD, thank you very, very much for your congratulations. That is well received.
You two are beautiful together. But I'm going to tell you, I was at the game, and what I kept on hearing was like, Purdy, what are you doing? And I got a friend that works for the Niners, so I'm going to tell you, Purdy was spooked. Because he was spooked because he wasn't getting all the protection that he needed, and they're intimidated by Kansas City. It's just a fact. And everybody, you know, we can sit here, fan is short for fanatics. We're just a bunch of fanatics. I'm not a fanatic. And I see the greater picture. That one caller was right. Kyle, don't be so friendly. I'm a boss myself. You can be friendly with your guys, but you don't want to be their friends. I'm not your friend. I'm not your dad. I mean, I'm your dad. I'm like your dad. I'm not your friend. Just like your kids, right? Mark, just like your kids. Yeah, we can be friendly, but I'm your dad. I'm not your buddy.
I don't know. And GPD, thanks. We gotta scoot. I don't know that Kyle does that. Let's address that. Is the perception out there that Kyle is too buddy buddy with the players? I don't feel that way, but we can get into that. Keep the calls coming. Let's get it out. Let's get it out on the table. Where do you want to go with this one? 888-957-9570, the number. We're brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts, Willard and Dibbs.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And Ayuk couldn't bring it in.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, more Burkhardt and Brady on Fox. I do want to acknowledge really quick a handful of texts that just came in.
Okay.
Comcast Business Text Line, thank you. There's a few of them congratulating me after what Grandpa Daddy just announced on the air. But one of them caught my mind as extra amusing. So 925, congratulations right back to you. Congratulations to you. Congratulations to you. I'm just as happy as my divorce is final today.
LFG.
So there's that.
Yeah. What? You and I have
been there too.
We've been on both sides of this.
That can be a good day too.
It can be.
It can be.
Right. And it's, so good. I mean, when it becomes final, it becomes final.
Yeah.
And so, as you know, that paperwork, that thing can keep going now.
Oh, for good.
It's longer than an Andy Reid touchdown drive. Yeah. And I'm looking at...
slower than one.
7, 8, 9. I'm looking at a 13-play drive where they go 79 yards down the field, and he did a Shanahan. Run, run, pass, run, 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 pass, run, scramble, run, incomplete... 1 yard touchdown on 4th and 1.
Yep.
He Shanahan twice.
Yep.
In that second half.
Yeah, no, that one, I mean, listen.
Dude.
There are a lot of ways to lose to the Chiefs. That one really, really hurt. It really, really hurt with the way that it all happened. I think that 49er fans were mentally prepared, certainly for the possibility that they could lose this game. They were a 1-point favorite. It's the Chiefs. Of course you can lose this football game.
Yeah, I actually took the Chiefs.
I'm aware. You have an opportunity.
Y'all going to have to eat that.
Well, you're going to be hot if you get both of them tonight. Well, we'll do that later.
Yeah, the picks are in, so I'm ready.
You're
locked in.
You're on one in a row, so congrats on that.
Yep.
But anyway, as far as the way this all goes down, for Patrick Mahomes to throw two picks and have no touchdowns, but instead, the Chiefs beat you by running the ball down your throat and by totally stopping you from being able to do it. And then your budding star quarterback goes out there and has the worst game of his career. And everything is penalized. And. Undisciplined. Once again, another return on special teams going against you. All of those things add up. That's as frustrating as it could have been. So there's no excusing that away. There's no shortage, I think, of being frustrated, of being disappointed. The only thing I would say is I keep yesterday in yesterday. I don't take yesterday to go, okay, so now Brock sucks, Kyle sucks, Niners suck. No, they did yesterday.
Right. I understand the lack of finality in your takeaway, and that's fair, but I look at a pattern of bad football behavior, and I think, well, to turn this around and to get to where I thought that they had a chance to get to this year, they're still allowed to, and it's still possible, but I'm seeing disturbing trends on this team that sure make me feel like what we saw yesterday is more the norm than it is the exception.
No, I agree with you. However, like this just came in Comcast Business Text Line, and I agree with this one. 415 says, I'm more disappointed that we lost to our division foes after we had big leads. Chiefs are an AFC team. The loss is not as consequential. So I get it. No, like today, it hurts. But yes, if you look back on this, it's way stupider that they lost to the Rams and the Cardinals than it is the Chiefs.
Sure.
As disappointing as this effort was.
Agreed. Yeah. And that's why I said last week going into the game yesterday that the Dallas game is bigger than the Kansas City game. And I said it then, and I'll say it again now, because it's a conference game. And conference games are more important when you get to tiebreaker than non-conference games. And yes, it hurts that Kansas City beat you for a fifth straight time. And this one was kind of close. And I just look at the way that game went yesterday, and I see three or four pivot points where you had a chance to still go out there and win the game, score a touchdown, win the game. Brock Purdy with a red zone interception that was ghastly, and you know, an early mistake where you stopped them on a fake punt, which was great, a great piece of coaching.
Yep.
And Kyle Shanahan and company, they learned from their mistake, and they left the defense on the field. And Kansas City tried to run the same little play that was run against them before, and they stuffed it. And you promptly throw an interception on the very next pass. So many gut punches yesterday from the offense that make me scratch my head. Not about yesterday, because yesterday's done, but I look at the mistakes that were made. Trent Williams with a hold, defensive penalties, unnecessary mistakes. They had 12 men on the field on a play that ultimately didn't kill you, because they only got half the distance of the goal, so they went from the 1 to the half-yard line. But little attention to detail, things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just watching video of something that was very, very early in the game before Brandon Ayuk went out, where it looked like Brock Purdy was getting ready to target Brandon. That was option 1 on the play. And Chris Conley ran the wrong route and ran right in front of him. And so Brock had to sort of scramble and just grabbed 2 or 3 yards and falls down. And Brandon's out there giving the palms up what for at Conley. And these are the things we don't even see.
Yeah.
Because they're not even on the TV screen. You know, and you wonder, you're like, all right, well, Chris Conley's not supposed to be out there. But then again, he is. And I'm not comfortable with the idea of just because you're a bench player, that means you're allowed to go in there and not know what the hell you're doing. Like, we don't do that, too. By the way, congratulations also in order today to Moses Moody, who is now for 3 more years locked in as a Golden State Warrior at $39 million total. Good for him.
I mean, locked in as an NBA player.
Yeah, he's got $39 million got locked in.
Yeah.
But how would you feel about him? He came, well, I didn't know where to go because I don't usually play. Well, no.
Yeah.
It's your job to know what to do when you get in there.
No doubt.
So, like, I don't know, man. Like, yes, in the end, it goes everywhere. Everybody wants to pick a blame spot today. Go ahead, pick it.
Yep.
But you can pick whatever you want.
You
it's
sure
all
can.
True.
And I just looking at the game again this morning and taking the notes, as I always take the notes, and I'm looking at Kansas City, and they had a grand total of 0 offensive penalties. And they had just one snap where they were in 2nd and more than 10 or 3rd and more than 10. And you mentioned it earlier, their ability to just get 2 or 3. Kareem Hunt, just get 3, and then a quick pass, get 4. Now it's 3rd and 4,
third and 3.
And it's, you know, Patrick Mahomes, and I can't help but think about some of the plays he made. That little, I'm going to scramble, shovel pass that he shovels it out for 8 yards, and the one later in the game where he's falling down, and he just kind of sidearm flips it to Kelsey, and they move the chains, and they keep moving the chains and avoiding stupid mistakes. And if you think about the biggest mistakes in the game, yeah, Mahomes with a couple of picks. One was a Khalil Davis knock it up special, which was great. Shout out knocked up. Be safe out there, everyone. But other than that, the only other the pick he threw, his receiver fell down. End of Kansas City mistakes.
Yeah.
They were pretty clean.
They were very clean. That's what I'm jealous of when I hear that. It's not like, oh, Mahomes and his devastating arm. No, I'm jealous of the fact that the Kansas City Chiefs offense didn't commit any penalties. The Niners hadn't been on the field for more than 28 seconds when they had already committed their first really kind of backbreaking penalty. Because 2nd and 20 is a dead drive.
Yep.
Like probably 90% of the time. And that's your first intro to the fans? It's literally, the game is just starting. The fans are on their feet. The stadium is ready to rock. And before anybody can even figure out who's got the ball, you're already warming your punter up.
Yeah.
It's brutal, man. And there's been too much of that this year.
You mentioned that, and I'm looking later in the first half where Trent holds on first down. Now it's 1st and 20. Kittle gets a 22-yard catch. And then Grendel gets 3. Okay, still alive. 2nd and 7. You have a sack where they brought the tight end over and the guard pulled and they both missed the defensive end. And then another pressure, pass to Ayuk, incomplete, and then you have to punt. It's like just when you're starting to maybe you convert a first and 20 and you're thinking, okay, they avoided the hold and now they're going to get this thing moving, you end up punting.
I've made this comparison already a couple of times this year. The Niners right now moving down the field, and this is very foreign to us because their offense has been so good the last couple of years. Moving down the field to get a touchdown feels like hitting a four-pick parlay. It's incredibly hard to do. But you have to, it's like, okay, first thing, you have to actually like drop back and do all the assignments and complete a pass. But then you have to also overcome the holding penalty. And then you've got to also overcome the offensive line that went the wrong way. And then you have to overcome the two receivers that ran into one another and overcome all of the injuries that you may or may not have on this particular series or game. And if you could do all that, then you're allowed to have a touchdown. Well, good God. What happened to just like, you know, call the plays and they work 67% of the time and you move down the field?
The old script where it's 12 plays, 70 yards, and you're up 7-0.
Man.
And three first downs in the first half, Mark.
Come on, one of them was
courtesy of a PI.
No, exactly. I remember that moment. We're early in the game, and the Niners had had three or four drives, and I looked at Christie, and I go, they've got one first down, and it's because the stupid Chiefs held somebody.
Yep.
That's it. They have not actually thrown a pass beyond the sticks yet, and we're like middle of the second quarter.
Punt, pick, punt were your first three.
Dog.
And then you get a PI, and you had to settle for a 55-yard field goal. Hey, you get the lead. 3-0.
Crazy.
LFG.
Crazy. Jaime, San Pablo. Hi. Thanks for calling, Jaime. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
We're good, man.
Hey, so my thing is this. If you guys remember, in 2021, we in the beginning of the season, we went through a rough patch, too. We lost four in a row, I believe it was. And last year, we lost, what, three in a row also in the beginning of the season? The Niners have started off this way. I don't know if you guys remember or not, but we've started off with bad games at the beginning of the season, injuries, this and that, and this and that. And then it just, you know, okay, one win comes, another win comes, and then it just we get back on track. Maybe this year doesn't look like that. But I'm just saying, hearing that all this stuff about Purdy and Kyle, it's like, come on, guys. Regardless, Purdy has been doing things that, you know, I don't want to call him any names, but number 10 wouldn't be doing the things that Purdy has been doing in his past couple of games or his past couple of seasons. Kyle, I mean, you know, the stash guy before Kyle came, I mean, Kyle and Purdy, you know, it's way better than we've had before. Yes, at moments we're mad, we get upset, but we have to relax, calm down, and think about where we're at, where we were at before, and just move on. I mean, Kyle might be Andy Reid from Philadelphia Eagles. He might be good enough. We might get there, and we might not. He's young. Too bad for us. He might not win it with us, but he's gonna get there. But, I mean, as of right now, I'm like, okay, you know, relax. We took that L. They beat our butts, whatever, but just keep it positive. Try to go like, right, I like the Mike Williams. Go out there and try to get Mike Williams, you know, and then why not play the rookie? What's his name? The receiver. He had two great plays yesterday.
You talking about Pearsall or Cowing? You talking about Cowing? You talking about Jacob Cowing?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, you're going to have to. Yeah. Jaime, thanks very much.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm with you in a general sense. However, it's not a day to tell people to calm down. This one hurts. This one, it was very irritating. This is a very irritating football game to watch. Very, very irritating. And so I understand that. I understand that. Now, I will point out, he brings up 2022. This is a fun exercise. You ready for this?
Let's do it.
All right. In 2022, the 49ers took on the Kansas City Chiefs at home.
I've heard of them.
In week 7. They lost that football game. They lost that one by 3 touchdowns.
Brock threw a pick in that game.
What else is new? He did. It was in garbage time, and he did not start the game. But the 49ers lost that game by 21 points in week 7 at home to the Kansas City Chiefs and made their record. Yeah, everybody, guess what? Go ahead. Wait for it. What was their record when they lost that game?
Yep.
What was it?
3-4, Mark.
3-4. The very next week, they had to face a rival. in a game that they felt they had to have going into their bye week. That year, it was the Los Angeles Rams. It was on the road. The 49ers won it by 2.5 touchdowns. They went to 4-4, and they went into their bye. What happened after that? Guess what? They never lost again. Until the NFC title game when Brock Purdy's arm removed itself from the rest of his body. So, I am not projecting that. I agree with all of you who say the problems look bigger this year than they did that year. But that year, they were 3-4, and there was all kinds of quarterback drama. Trey Lance had already been hurt. Jimmy Garoppolo was back into the fold the year after we all thought he was gone. Then, of course,
he got hurt.
Yeah, then he gets hurt 3 weeks later, but he went on a 4-game winning streak himself before Brock Purdy came into the fold.
Right.
So, like, 3-4, you know, go back to Jonathan a few callers ago that's like, dude, it's time to tank this thing. Let's get some draft picks. The last time they were 3-4, week 7, with a week 9 bye, they never lost again. So, they never lost again. They went 13-4.
Right. And that season, the parallel that I'm going to draw is the way that 3-4 was created, because you were at the first loss.
Yes.
In a very wet and rainy, I don't even know if rainy does it justice.
Oh my God.
I remember you showing me pictures of you and your boys out there in Chicago.
I've never been more soaked in my life.
Right.
At any point in my entire life.
Soaked.
And soaked.
You lost to Chicago, and I think Dante Pettis with a big catch against you in 19-10.
Good memory.
And you lost to Denver 2 weeks later when Jimmy Garoppolo decided to Orlovsky out of the back of the end zone. You lose that game 11-10. So those two losses, you lost to Atlanta on the road, which was a scheduled loss, and I told you back then that that's what it was going to be.
Did you?
Yeah, it was the second game of your little road trip where you go to the Greenbrier, and Atlanta ran it right down your throat. That, for me, was kind of like the Minnesota game where you just got beat, and you tip your cap because sometimes you're going to lose, but the other two losses were fluky, and they went into that Kansas City game, and they probably should have been 5-1, much like this year, where many people think you should have been 5-1 going into this one.
Probably,
so,
yeah.
That, to me, is where the parallels end, because you had peak McCaffrey on that team. You had a better defense on that team than you did now.
You did not actually have peak McCaffrey on that team. When you had peak McCaffrey on that team, they won all the games. McCaffrey was acquired, in fact, 4 days after that loss to Atlanta. And he played part-time in the loss to Kansas City. Once he got up to speed, they never lost again.
That's my point.
Why can't that happen this year?
Because he's not going to play against Dallas, and he's a question mark to even play out of the bye. And if he plays out of the bye, he's not going to be where he was coming to the team. He came into the team, he was healthy, and he was ready to roll.
Right, but larger picture is that Christian McCaffrey might be Christian McCaffrey for the second half of the year. And I'm by no stretch saying that the 49ers are going to roll off 9 in a row. Like, I'm not saying that by any stretch.
Right.
But could they win 6 or 7 of them? Sure. Well, I would guess that. That'd be my guess.
You think that they're going to go at least 6-3 after the bye?
I think the 49ers are good for 10 wins this year. Yes, I still do.
So you think they're going to beat Dallas, and then they're going to win 6 of 9 coming out of the bye?
I definitely think they're going to beat Dallas. And then you look to that second half of the season, what would you have left? 8 more games?
Yeah, and
you'd have 9 more games.
Is where I will draw the parallel and say it's not accurate based on just the schedule, because that year when you came out and you ran the table after the bye, you were playing a third-place schedule, and the teams that you played weren't very good. You played a Raider team, a Commander team, you had Arizona twice, and yeah, you beat Tom Brady, the GOAT, and you beat him here. But
you went to Seattle with broken ribs.
Fine.
On a Thursday night.
It doesn't matter the ribs. We're talking about the schedule.
Well, no, it does. I mean, the difficulty of it was not, like, a third-place schedule can end up difficult. Seattle was not a bad team.
And it was a short week.
Yep.
A double short week. I look at this schedule coming off the bye, and it's markedly more difficult.
It's harder. It's harder, but you, in theory, should be actually a more well-rounded team this time.
Like, see, I don't think so.
Well, that time, you had a third-string quarterback coming in to play his first NFL games. Like, I would argue you have the opportunity this time around, if blessed with a little bit of health, to be a more mature football team. I'll grant you the schedule is harder on paper.
I don't know if you can say that you're going to be blessed with health because Ayuk is gone. He won't be playing. Debo's had a really hard time playing a couple of games in a row. McCaffrey may or may not be ready to go ever this year. We don't know
may
that.
May or may not. It's Jay
Greenlaw, same thing. He's allowed to play.
No, but right now, the what we're hearing from camp and from reports is good with regard to Christian.
Sure.
His rehab right now is going the way you want it to go. They have not had any setbacks. They are loosening him up each week. It is going well so far the last 2 weeks.
That's exciting. That's good. In terms of expectations for Christian McCaffrey, 2 years ago he was in a much better spot coming off the bye than he is right now.
But they also went 9-0, and I'm telling you they can go 6-3. That's also very different. I'm granting what you're saying in there, that Detroit and Green Bay and Buffalo and these guys are all on the schedule
and
this
Tampa
year.
Bay.
Yeah, that'll be a hard one, although that could be McCaffrey's debut. It's also coming off a bye. Niners will have the rest advantage, Dips.
Will they?
Yeah. Maybe it's Tampa Bay?
It might be a 3-day rest advantage.
They got a bye.
Right.
And Tampa plays tonight.
Well, Kansas City had a bye this week, and they only had a +3 advantage over Tampa, over the Niners.
Tampa Bay, Tampa Bay plays on Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons, while the, I'm sorry. They will play Monday night in Kansas City. They will be on 6 days rest, while the Niners will be on 14.
Oh, that's big.
It's huge.
We'll go ahead and file that away.
+8.
It's a big time +8. All right. It's one of the only pluses on the year.
Straight back to the calls in a moment, but Kyle Shanahan is talking right now, and Mark Grandy has these injury updates.
Yeah, I know you guys are talking about Christian McCaffrey. Haven't heard anything from Shanahan about McCaffrey. However, there are a number of ones to run through here from the game yesterday. First of all, Chris Conley has an ankle. He's day-to-day. Okay. George Kittle, a foot sprain. He's day-to-day. Debo Samuel still out with illness. He has fluid in his lungs. It's some sort of pneumonia. He is currently in the hospital.
Oh, crap.
And the 49ers have no timeline for his return. They will see how he progresses over the next couple of days. And Kyle Shanahan has also confirmed what we already know, an ACL and MCL tear, at least for Brandon Ayuk. His season is officially over.
Okay. So, and maybe that sheds a little light on the Debo thing. I think it's hard when people are just here, like you see him in uniform and he goes, I'm sick. Like, it's hard for fans to be like, dude, tough it out. But it's Debo Samuel. And I had the hard time believing, like, why? I don't understand this. If he's got fluid in his lungs, it's very possible that Debo's having a hard time breathing.
You could see that.
Yeah,
and they cut to him on the sideline, and he didn't have the I'm so tired oxygen mask that players have all the time. He had the full-on mask and the bag underneath it. He had his own oxygen set up because it was clear, and he actually tried to come back on the field, and he played a couple of snaps and then back to the sideline. So, wow, that one for me is maybe the most concerning of all. Outside of Ayuk, he's gone for the year. We know that. But Debo with fluid in his lungs and he's in the hospital?
In the hospital, which certainly brings into question next week. Although, if I know Debo Samuel and George Kittle, they play in Sunday Night Football against the Dallas Cowboys. They're playing.
George is playing. But
that'd be my guess.
If Debo has fluid in his lungs, if he's got some sort of pneumonia.
Yeah, clear that thing up.
I mean, you might have like something far worse than pneumonia. You could have, you know, what's the other thing that you have? It's not pneumonia. I'll look it up. I can't remember all these illnesses.
I can't believe it. The radio doctor doesn't know all the illnesses. Do you know all the cheeses? Anyway, we're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. It's all your calls all day. Let's keep it going. 888-957-9570. It's Willard and Dibs.
That is exactly what you don't need if you're St. Fran. You need a little momentum. You need to make a play against tight coverage. You can't get it done.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Burkhardt and Brady on Fox. And a series of calls that's going to haunt us for a little while until it doesn't. You know, the beat rolls on. And I think that's a big part of today, too. Like, you know, that was the Chiefs. That was the Chiefs. And so it's just going to keep stinging and stinging and stinging until they find a way to get over the top of that one. And I don't know. They may not get another chance at it for a long time, to be honest with you.
They won't. And I wonder when they, I guess they'd play them again in, well, this isn't even one of those divisional
games. Yeah, this is
games.
Not the divisional.
This was a we were first, you were first matchup. So I guess they would play them again in 2 years because last time they played that division, they played Denver and the Raiders in 2022. The aforementioned Orlovsky play by Garoppolo, and then they beat the Raiders in overtime. And I think the next time they play that division will be 2026.
Right. So not like likely the way it's trending, it's not impossible, but likely you won't see them next year. Would have to see them in 2026. Obviously, there's always the possibility of a Super Bowl match between the two. Nobody wants to hear about that
funny.
Right now. Well, I mean, they could go to the Super Bowl next year. And they're allowed to go to the Super Bowl this year, too.
They are. And while you take a phone call, I do want to look at the freshest odds to see.
Do you have them?
I'll get them, but go to the phones because we've had so many great callers on the line.
I have this bookmarked because we look at it every week.
Right.
So, yeah, we do. Let's while we go to the phones, you tell me, do you, like the Lions beat the Vikings yesterday and they were the closest ones.
Yeah.
Who do you think the NFC favorite is today, the Lions or the 49ers?
Oh, the Lions. There should be no doubt that the Lions are the favorites. They knocked off the undefeated Vikings, and you fell to the undefeated Chiefs. So
mm-hmm.
I would imagine that the Lions are clearly the favorites to win the NFC.
You're not wrong until you use the word clearly.
It just depends on what you consider clearly.
Well, it's pretty close. Yes is the answer. The Detroit Lions have moved ahead of the San Francisco 49ers in terms of Super Bowl odds. At plus 750, the Niners remain the second choice in the NFC at plus 850, only 100 behind. And by the way, the 49ers, not just second in the NFC, fourth in the league, you can think whatever you want. Vegas right now has them ahead of the Bills, the Texans, the Vikings, the Packers, the Eagles, the Commanders, all of them. 49ers Super Bowl odds remain ahead of all of those teams. Fourth pick behind the Chiefs, Ravens, then Lions, then Niners. That's where it sits right now.
Yeah, odds going up, up, up. So yep. If you still believe, wait for them to go out and lose to Dallas, then bet it during the bye week, and you'll get your best possible price.
Or do it now because they're going to beat the doors off of the Cowboys.
If they beat the doors off the Cowboys, the odds probably won't change that much. Because they're heavily favored to beat the Cowboys.
Yeah, but
and the Cowboys are plus 3,600, 36-1 to win the Super Bowl.
There's the chance that if the Niners win that game, it moves them back into first place. That kind of changes odds right? Like, you know, they'd be tracking toward a playoff spot.
Meanwhile, what do you guys think the odds are for the Niners to win the NFC West? I know you guys know they're the favorites still, despite not being first right now. But what do you think the odds are?
Off the charts. Like I prohibitive favorites.
Niners minus 120, Seahawks plus 250.
Minus, yeah.
Right.
So like,
well, because the division stinks.
Right.
The Niners aren't very good, but they're the best of four teams in their division. Even though Cooper Kupp, he's coming back on Sunday. Reportedly, he's going to be cleared, and he's coming back
Thursday.
That's right.
Yep.
Thursday
night
they play
football this week.
Seattle is not very good and in first place, and Arizona's deeply flawed. Coming up here later this afternoon.
You know who's in town on Thursday night to play the Los Angeles Rams and Cooper Kupp?
I haven't seen it.
That would be Sam Darnold,
Sammy
and the
D,
Minnesota Vikings.
I love it.
New man on the Minnesota Vikings.
Anyway, look at you. Fade the road team on a short week is what the trends would tell you. But I'll save that for Thursday because I'm about 4 hours away from being hot again.
Look ahead is the Vikings minus 3 on the road. We love them home dome on Thursday night.
Doubt.
All right, let's keep going with you. 888-957-9570. Hey, Steven in Concord. Go ahead. Thanks for calling, man. What's up?
Oh, hey, congratulations, Mark, on your wonderful weekend.
Thank you, Steven.
So, about the 49ers, I called a couple months back when McCaffrey went to IL, and I talked about their margin of error is so much smaller than it was in years past. And it just speaks true. It's like years after they could get over the bad drop passes or the hold, they had plenty of talent to make up for it. It just seems like now with injuries and they don't seem to be playing with the same fire as they have in the years past either. So it's like I'm just seeing lots of issues with the team, obviously. Special teams is still a dumpster fire. So you have all these issues, and I also think they're getting older. A caller mentioned it earlier. They've had a lot of grind on their bodies, and for the first time in a while, injuries are now seriously mounting up. And the schedule does not get any easier after the bye, which Gibbs pointed out. It's tougher this year. They're not getting Hargrave back. They're not getting Ayuk back.
Yep.
And they desperately need McCaffrey because he seems to be the main guy there that everything gets based around. Debo cannot, you can't count on him to stay in games, let alone multiple games in a row or six or seven. So I don't blame Shanahan. I don't blame Purdy. He had a bad game. And they're playing against the best team in the league with Patrick Mahomes. And, I mean, they have it all on Kansas City. So I don't blame, it's just a bad game, but it looks bad. And it just kind of exacerbates everything that we've seen up to this point. They make a lot of mistakes, and now they simply can't overcome them. And it's, I wish it was just injuries, but they played a depleted Rams team and got beat. They played a depleted Cardinals team and got beat. So they can't even beat the bad teams that are also injured. So it's just frustrating, you know, to watch. It's frustrating to hear your show today and hear all the frustrations.
Sure.
But, you know, it helps me move along and get to tomorrow, so it is what it is. And I hope they can find something, and it's going to start with the defense. They have to play better. They can't seem to make a big stop. You know, they had a chance to make a stop against the Rams, the Cardinals, and they can't. And that is much different than it has been in years past. You could always count on a Bosa or a Warner to make that big play in the big-time situation, and it's just not happening so far.
So far, yeah. Yeah, Steven, thanks very much. I think it's a good call. I think here's the concept that Steven's getting to. It's not just one thing. It's not one thing. So when people go, oh, you can't use the injuries as an excuse. Yes, you can, but that's not everything. That's also...
Well, you really can't use injuries as an excuse because everyone can use it as an excuse. And so it's football. You're going to have injuries.
But let's change the wording then. I know people don't like excuses, but it'd be silly to not take that into account of your assessment of the team. So is there reasoning behind it? Yes. I'm not comparing it to anyone else. I'm comparing the 49ers to themselves. They're a lesser version of themselves right now. Why? Okay. I think that's one of the reasons. It's not the only reason. I think there are two main things that have happened this year. Some would call this a Super Bowl hangover. I don't necessarily look at it that way. This is the way I see it. The regular season success of the last handful of years led the 49ers to come out early this year, and just by human nature, you can criticize them for this, by human nature, they were unable to really conjure up the urgency that's necessary to win at the NFL level. Some would call that complacency. Some would call it reading your own press clippings, what have you. I think the 49ers suffered at times from overconfidence and a lack of urgency early in the season. Then wrap in when you get the proverbial wake-up call and you're like, okay, chop, chop, we got to get going. And the second they try to do that, you're like, oh, God, where are our people? Oh, God, there's no Christian, there's no Debo, there's no Brandon, there's no Juwan. Well, now we're not as good. We're running routes with Ronnie Bell, and the whole thing is and you're playing the undefeated Super Bowl two-time champs. So none of these are excuses. This is assessment. It's why I still think it's very possible the Niners end up being a good team this year, but right now they're not.
It sounds to me like excuses.
Why?
Because...
Those are reasons.
Well, the reasons...
I'm not... It's not
football,
me.
But
I'm not trying to talk my way out of anything.
You don't have to.
I'm not on the team.
You don't have to talk your way out of anything. And you line up on Sunday, or if you play Thursday or Monday, whatever, and you have who you have, and they have who they have, and your job is to go out there and win. And Kansas City had multiple players who weren't available, and they actually lost one of their starting wide receivers, and so they made adjustments, and they went out, and they did enough to go out and win the game. And yeah, you lost Brandon Ayuk and you didn't have Christian McCaffrey. You haven't had him all year, but boy, no one's going to look at that and say, well, Jordan Mason hasn't been able to to carry his load because he's number two in the NFL in rushing.
No,
so.
but like the idea of excuses means it's almost like I'm sitting in front of the principal and trying to talk him out of something. Like, that has nothing to do with it. Like, this is an assessment of where the 49ers are, and it's not good enough. It's not excusing anything. I've sat here and told you. Brock Purdy's performance right. yesterday is the worst one of his entire career. So that's that. Like,
right. I look at it like whoever you have out there, you have to go out and execute a game plan and you have to play in a certain fashion. And you've got professional football players and you've got a punt coverage team that has been bad the majority of the year. You have a kicker who you brought in who couldn't make an extra point, which ultimately did affect the way you went about things. Your quarterback who's going to make 60 or 65 million, whatever he's going to make. He's the dude. He's the franchise quarterback, and he had a very, very bad game. And you can add up all the other mistakes you made from your Hall of Fame tackle who had a holding penalty, your center who opened the game with a holding penalty. You had sloppy play in many areas. And for me, it doesn't matter who was there or who wasn't there. Your job is to go out there and execute. And you know, whether or not you had to lean on Conley and Bell and Pearsall and Cowing.
Nobody's saying otherwise.
Right.
Nobody's saying otherwise. So that's what I'm getting at. These two things can be equally true. What you guys all did yesterday was not good, not good enough, not acceptable, not fun, not any of that.
Right.
However, right. to go into this roster with the same expectation as a team that is loaded with literally some of the top players in the game that are all not available, why would they be as good? Why would they be?
Well, they don't have to be as good.
They're not.
You just have to be good enough to win a game. And you had enough talent yesterday on the field to win that game.
Sure, as did the Chiefs. And they also, here's the perfect comp. People go, well, the Chiefs found a way to win. Right, they're also a lesser version of themselves.
Right.
And they are not playing as well.
So that's where I think you can, you take all of the roster machinations and you throw them out the window.
And they're more buttoned up. And no
exactly.
one's arguing
and
that.
And they gashed you with a running back who they found off the scrap heap and another guy who no one had ever heard of 4 weeks ago.
Completely.
And a backup tight end who carried the day more so than their Hall of Fame tight end.
So criticize away, and you're right.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean fire people.
Oh, no, I'm with you there.
I know you're not. But that's like what?
And it doesn't mean that Brock Purdy suddenly his extension is in jeopardy.
Right. And now
we had a bad game.
Now we want to tank, and now we want to say Brock's not good, and Kyle is consistently not good enough, and he's never ready for a big game, right. and he doesn't like
0-40 like, when down by 8 or more in the fourth quarter. That was the stat that was thrown out.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how many, like, I don't know what the winning percentage, though, is in general. You'd have to give me a baseline for every team that's ever down 8 or more. What's the winning percentage when you're down by 8 or more in the fourth quarter?
Better than 0.
You would hope. You would think.
Somebody's done it.
Well, it's happened twice this year.
The Raiders won a game this year where they were down by 10 in the fourth quarter.
The Niners lost 2 when they were up by 10 in the fourth quarter.
On the road in Baltimore.
So there you go.
Yeah.
So those things do happen.
And those are totally fair. You're listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Twitch and YouTube. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.